emergency?
Breaking my heart, girl. Got it inside. Breaking my heart, girl. Are you going to say some?
No.
I was going to interrupt you.
Oh, is that what it is?
That was really good. I think I did a good job.
You hit every note. Like, that was a great run.
And then we play it back, and it's not at all what we thought it was.
I thought it sounded great.
I'm a sometimes good singer, where, like, I have bad days, but then I have really good days, you know? There are moments where my voice is on point, and then there are moments where it's just not it.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you. That is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, like, I'll be like, you know what? The other day, somebody asked me, they're like, do you have any talents? And I was like, well, I can kind of sing.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. And then they were like, sing. And I was like, didn't want to. Because it's like, I don't know how this is going to come out.
Yeah. Today.
I haven't sang a note today.
Yeah, I don't know.
And you this can't up. Be the first note that I sing right. in front of someone.
Right. You never know.
You never know how it's going to come out.
You want to chug this seltzer? It's gluten-free.
Yes.
And there's only 3 grams of carbs, 1 gram of sugar.
110 calories.
And 110 calories. Wow.
This is a margarita truly. A truly... mango chili margarita style.
I have a classic lime margarita style.
All right, let's chug it.
Chug. This tastes like Sprite. I'm not even gonna lie, it's great.
Oh, nice.
Can never happen. And I spilled on myself.
I literally like cannot chug.
Yeah.
I just don't have a deep throat like that. Which is why I tell people, like, dude, like, I suck. I suck at it.
I don't have it. It's not in me.
It's really not.
I think it's because I'm a church girl.
What? Church girls give the best got 3000. What do you mean?
I think it's because I'm not a church girl that I don't. I just don't. I don't know. I just don't.
It's just not, like, in me. Like, it's just, like.
I tried doing it the other day, but you know how lately my jaw has been sore, right?
Oh, my God.
It's the worst ever. I felt so bad because I couldn't really open my mouth to the capacity that I could, and I had to give up. I was like, sorry.
Oh, that sucks.
And I don't even think I properly explained why I stopped. Just think I stopped. I was like, my mouth hurts.
That's my problem, too. Okay, I don't do, like, a good transition from the got to the – to the other stuff. I'm literally
nice.
Just like,
you just
I do it, and then when I'm tired, I'm like, all right. Like, just no, like,
you just sit back.
Yeah.
That's it. Just wait for the next magic to happen.
Exactly.
I think I do a pretty decent transition, except for that one night. That, wow.
Well, you had a jaw problem.
Yeah, jaw problem.
No big
for
deal.
Sure. For sure.
And you know what? Also, like, I'm not a big fan of, like, spit. You know, and so I think that really stops me from, like, giving that sloppy toppy because
really,
like, I'm not terrible at it, but the spit, like, I can't, like, spit and then, like, suck it up. Like,
you're so with the right person, yeah, you know, like, with
I
the hookup.
Honestly, I have to be drunk. Like,
no, for sure.
When I'm drunk, well, ooh, I give that slop on my nub, okay?
Like corn on a cup. With, like, you know, when you just, like, hook up, when you're in the hookup culture, like, definitely not nasty at all. But I can definitely be with, like, my person for sure. I love spit, and I want my person spit in my mouth. Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can spit in my mouth. That's fine. That's
I would
fine.
Swallow my person spit.
Maybe it's my own spit. Is that weird? I want your spit. I don't want my spit. Is that weird?
That is kind of weird.
Oh, I don't know why.
That is kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, no, I do think it's kind of weird that you're willing to take in someone else's spit, but you are disgusted by your own spit.
Yeah, it's not that I'm, like, disgusted. It's just, like, I guess, I don't know. Maybe it's just, like, the feeling of it. I don't know. You know what it is? I don't like the smell of spit.
Ooh, me neither.
Right?
Yeah.
And, like, you smell it when you're doing that.
You know what's the worst, though, is when you drool at night. Have you ever drooled on your man before or just on anyone while you were sleeping?
No. Drool on your man?
Yeah, while you're sleeping.
No, I get too hot. So, like, we'll be cuddling. And then, like, as soon as I get hot, like, I just, like, yeah.
I have moments where I'm laying down and I would drool and I would wake up like, damn, I just drooled. And I try to like hide it and I can't hide it because it's drool. And I would just, you know. And
you just wipe it off?
I literally try to wipe it off, but it's so much. And then the spot that I laid on is definitely wet.
It's because damp.
Because of my drool, but then it smells like it. It's the worst in the world.
That
I'm like,
oh. Really sucks.
Yeah, I know. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Okay, you guys, this is Cocktail Murder.
It is.
I'm Taj.
I'm Honey.
And this is Cocktail Murder.
No, but for real this time, we drink and we talk about murder. We talk about Black victims, people of color victims, because our stories are often undertold, underreported, and this platform is specifically to shed light on that.
Exactly. We understand that we don't necessarily get the media coverage that we are supposed to get, and we've seen that happen over and over again, and we just want to shed light on those stories and make sure that those victims' names are said.
Exactly.
Honestly, they're so forgotten, and it's honestly really fucked up. So yeah, if you guys don't know, this is our Belliger Rant Corner, where we just drink our cocktail. Once again, we're drinking a Truly today. And we just talk a little bit of shit.
Yeah.
And we usually don't pick a topic. We just start talking and it just goes.
It comes to us.
Yeah, wherever it goes. But today I actually did come across a tweet, and given the whole like Kanye West and Kim Kardashian situation right now, I had a question for you, honey.
What's your question?
So it's actually kind of like two questions, but it's really like, how far would you go to get your man back? And what would you like a man to do to get you back?
I can answer the second one truthfully.
Okay.
Well, I can answer both truthfully. But the second one, I would want my man to go like – I want him to buy the world for me.
The world.
You know what I would really want? Especially like if I'm in an argument and like – or if we're in an argument and – things are kind of like falling off and we're still kind of holding on, but we're just in a bad spot. I want my man to pull up on me. I would love my man to pull up on me with my favorite food or my favorite snacks with some flowers.
That's sweet.
You know, just something like that to, you know, to show like, hey, I'm regardless of what we're going through, I'm here.
Yeah.
Now, if we're broken up, would I want him to come back is
right,
the question.
Right, exactly.
You know, would I even be in a place to receive?
Yeah, we're talking about, like, you guys broke up. Either you fucked up or he fucked up. It doesn't matter who fucked up. But you guys are broken up, and he's not over you. He wants to get you back.
I would love to see him try. I don't know what it would take. You know, it really just depends on the circumstance. But for me, my issue is that if I am going through trouble with a partner and we break up, regardless of the situation, whose fault it is, I'm not gonna chase after him.
And
that's my issue. And I don't know if it's an issue. I don't know if it's a maturity thing. I don't even know what it is. It's just, I feel like if we both came to terms with this is the end of us, then why am I gonna waste my time going after you when I can spend this time healing and moving on?
Right,
you know,
I can agree with that.
I think
like that is like difficult, because if you don't do anything and say you kind of, you know, still want that relationship back, you're probably not going to get it back, you know,
if you don't do
anything.
But
for me, you know, I don't know. What I would want a man to do for me is, again, I would want him to try, but I want the world. I want you to do everything in your power, whatever that may be, to try to get me back. But also I want to be able to like talk shit to you for a little bit, like even if I'm like
that.
Okay, like let's start talking again or whatever,
let's work it out.
I want to be able to talk so much shit to you,
yeah,
just for a little bit, and you just have to suck it up, okay?
Yeah.
You just have to let me talk my shit and keep it moving.
Especially if you're in the wrong. You know, if especially right. Yeah, if exactly. Your partner's in the wrong, you can't make your partner move on.
Right, exactly.
From the situation.
Exactly.
You know, you got to give them that closure of being upset with
yes.
you. It's your there might be roller coasters of emotions where one day you guys are cool, then the next day you think about whatever happened and it's like, mm-hmm. "Oh, I can't fuck with you." Like, you got to allow those emotions
yeah,
to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
Let me feel my emotions and then understand my emotions and just let me go through them.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I don't need any back talk from you.
Yeah.
I need you to let me talk shit to you while you are handing me flowers.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
For sure.
Like, I want you to hand me flowers and be like, "I'm so sorry." And I'ma still be like, "You only doing this because you fucked up." And then you just gonna be like, "I'm sorry, baby." Like, that's all I want to hear from you. Just
be
shut
quiet.
The fuck up.
Yeah.
Hand me the flowers.
Yeah. It only lasts like 2 months.
I'll get over it.
A couple months. I only need a couple months. A couple days, a couple nights, equating to 2 months.
Now, what I would do to get my man back, and like, I've never really done much to like get a man back. The most I've ever done, like, after a breakup is like probably call them and be like, "Hey, like, let's work it out," you know, type shit. But it's never been like doing the most. I've said before, like, I've been the crazy bitch, you know,
yeah.
when I was young and dumb and stupid, and
Lord have mercy.
I did not like that person.
Mm-mm.
You know, I've said it a million times. I remember looking at myself in the mirror and just being like, "How the fuck did you get here? You
mm-hmm.
crazy ass female."
Yeah.
Like, how did you let this man mm-hmm. get to you like this? And so now you're right, like, I don't, like, I have too much pride now to like go crazy again or like let a
yes.
man ever see me like weak.
Exactly.
You know,
but it's
in
not
that place.
Just that it's just like allowing someone to, you know, bring a certain characteristic out of you that really isn't you. You know what
right,
I mean?
For sure.
It's like, no,
yeah.
you're – because, you know, at some point, unless you're actually freaking a nutcase, like Kanye, you're
– Yeah, pretty much.
You're generally, like, reasonable. You know what I mean? And some people who do react, they react because somebody is driving them there, you know?
Ooh, oh,
and that
yeah,
was,
for sure.
That
you're
that
not
was my
crazy
situation.
Like
yeah.
you were driven there. Like,
and that was
for
my
sure.
situation. I was driven to be crazy to the point where I had nothing left but to react.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everything else didn't work out. Being quiet didn't work out.
Yeah.
Diffusing the situation didn't work
right.
out. So now
absolutely.
I have to match your energy, which is be crazy. Now I have mm-hmm. to be crazy back.
Now
you know?
I'm over here socking walls and
oh, man.
Throwing shit around the room.
Oh,
and,
man. Yeah. And now,
oh
you're, and now you're the bad person in the relationship. And now
right,
you're
exactly.
the crazy person
exactly.
in the relationship. Yeah.
Yeah, if it ever gets there, y'all just walk away.
Walk away.
Just
it's walk not good
away.
For
it's
you.
Not
I promise
worth
it's
it.
Not love.
And
it's
it doesn't
not love.
Feel good.
It's not love. Yeah.
You know, I have like been in a situation where this one dude in my life did me kind of dirty. Mm-hmm. And so I tore, not only I, but I don't want to implicate any other people, but we tore his apartment
mm-hmm.
apart.
Well, he did you dirty bad, though.
He did, yeah, it was
–
that this one was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. But, you know, after I was thinking, like, wow, I don't feel any better about this. Like, I didn't feel happier. I didn't feel more over him, you know. It just felt like – I don't want to say my heart was broken in that situation, but my heart was still broken, you know. It was still, like – I was still sad over the fact that, like, this relationship is ending, and that was, like – that was a relationship where I moved from one state to another state, you
yeah.
know, type shit. And
yeah.
so that, like, that shit hurt. And being that crazy bitch, it just, it does not make you feel better.
Yeah.
You actually start to judge yourself.
Mm.
And that is terrible.
And
that
then you
sucks.
Question yourself too.
Yeah.
Because it's like, dang, am I the one in the wrong? Am I the person that is making this relationship go into turmoil?
Right.
But it's not. Like, you just... if somebody brings the worst out of you, then that person is not for you. It's just simple
that
as
is
that.
Very true.
Regardless of of how much damage you caused yourself. Mm-hmm. If you both, not even you both, but if the worst of your characteristics is being highlighted and brought out of you, then that is not the relationship for you at all. You
have to walk away. Exactly. And I know that shit sucks and it hurts. And a lot especially of times you have to break like your that, own heart to walk away.
It's hard because then, you have this like special, like what do they call it? Trauma bonding. You know, you have a bond where you feel, we were talking about this earlier. It's codependency. You know, you're codependent with them. And so it feels like the end of the world if you're not together, but it shouldn't feel like the end of the world.
Oh my gosh. And it's
when you're
not
away from your partner, it should not feel that way at all. That is not healthy.
No, not at all. Yeah. But there is, like, when it comes to like Kanye and Kim Kardashian or whatever, a part of me, unfortunately, a part of me does kind of sympathize with her, with him, because once again, I've been that crazy girl. And we've talked about this earlier. The difference is when I was the crazy bitch, I was like 21 years old. Mm-hmm. This nigga is like old.
That's
okay.
A grown-ass
he's old.
Man. He's grown.
Yeah. So there's no reason for him to be acting the way he's acting. But I have been there where it was like, I fought for a relationship that shouldn't have been a relationship in the first place.
Yeah.
But I felt like, oh my gosh, like, what am I going to do without this person? Mm. And the worst part was like, it was like breakup, makeup type of relationship. And it was like one breakup, I was the psycho crazy one. Mm. And then the next breakup, he was the psycho crazy one. So I get like the both sides of like being the crazy one and then also like being harassed by the crazy one. And that is even worse.
It's being that no, seriously, sucks. You know, and if you have ever lived through that, I am sorry. Like I've lived through that where it was like I even tried to like end things, and even in ending things and making myself 1000% clear, this is not gonna work out. And here are the logical reasons as to why. Right. Like, look at
clearly
us. Look at us. This isn't working. Yeah. Look at it. Like we're toxic as fuck, and you get the constant text messages and phone calls, and you just get constant harassment and, you know, reaching out to you,
worst.
You know, reaching out to you through other people. It really is the worst. And in this case with Kanye, I disagree because I can't sympathize with him simply because I'm triggered, you know, because I get it. Like, I'm sure, you know, so social media is Kim's life. So for her to go on social media and literally watch this unfold, and it is about her life. It's the father of her children. I can't even imagine like the turmoil she's going through when you're trying to move on and cut someone off, and that person simply is taking your choice away and moving on from you.
That's
the worst feeling in the world, because at some point you feel like you don't have power to cut this person off.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately she has children with this guy.
I know.
Which is that sucks.
That's terrible.
That's like she has to deal with him forever.
Dude, there are so many things that you need to do before you get married.
Yes.
Okay.
Talk about it.
So many things that you need to check up on. And I mean, number one for me is like finances. Mm-hmm. Before I marry whoever my husband will be, I need to make sure like not only are his finances good, but my finances need to be, you know, good as well. Because one, you're taking on each other's debt.
Two,
like how is our, like what are our goals? How is our life going to turn out? Are we going to be in an apartment for the rest of our life? Like I don't want that either, you know? So that is
Dear God, no. I mean, I'm seeing people talking about, oh yeah, I left my home to live in a high rise. I'm like, no.
I mean, some high rises are beautiful, and I've seen high rises that are literally like 2,000 square feet.
Yeah. And it's like, and the high rises are beautiful, I feel like I'm about to place someone a home. Like,
I'd like a home.
I'm sorry. I'm good.
I was just telling you, this girl that I follow on Instagram is living my dream life. Like,
I know.
Her and her husband are building their home together, and then they're on all this land. So she has like ducks and llamas and shit. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And all she does all day is just like DIY projects on her home.
Aww.
Like it's so beautiful.
What a life.
But literally, like, okay, our older sister sent us today like a list of medical things to check on before you marry someone, and I wanted to share it because
it's
so important to talk about these things with your partner. So these are 7 medical tests to do before marriage. There is an HIV status. You need to know that. Blood group and rhesus. I'm sorry, I don't know what that is.
And you what is Google that? It. Spell it for me, please.
Blood group and rhesus is R-H-E-S-U-S.
You lost me at R-H.
Yeah, not Reese's, recess, and not recess. Okay, no, anyways. Here's another big one, you guys. Hemoglobin electrophoresis.
Oh my God.
That's what a big word for Elmo.
Hemoglobin. Would you say it's a big word for Elmo?
Yeah. Have you seen that video? I'll have to show you that. Okay. VDRL/STD screening.
Yes.
Y'all to be doing that before
I was going to say, actually, before marriage.
Yeah. That needs to be before you even start fucking somebody.
That would be ideal. Like,
yeah. Get tested, you guys. Like, even
constantly
if you
constantly test yourself. Dude,
even if you're in a relationship, yeah. Even when you're in a marriage,
you never know.
Get tested.
You never know. And dude. It's not to like try to catch the other person. But what if your person is cheating and then yeah. You don't know?
Protect
like,
yourself at all yeah, times. Seriously. My doctor always like tells me this too. Like, she's just like, and I'm like, you know, I'm in a relationship. And I'm like, yeah, like, I don't need an STD test. And she's like, just do it.
Just do it.
She's like, dude, your insurance covers it. Just fucking do it.
It's free. Yeah. It really is free. So, like, if you have insurance, yes, it's free.
Well, yeah, hopefully, you know. Okay. Medical and genetic history. I think that's a good thing to do. Yeah. Fertility tests if you guys plan on having children.
Important.
And the last one, very important, mental health examination.
You got to know who you're dealing with.
Dude.
You've got to know the baggage. You've got to know how a person deals with a difficult situation.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, when they always say, oh, you have to make sure you know the person, you know, before you settle down with them, know how they handle things at their worst. Like when they're at their worst, what do they look like? How do they react at their worst? That is so true, because the worst can be very bad.
Oh, and it so
could
bad.
You could literally look at a whole completely Kim didn't see this shit from a mile away, you know what I mean?
Well,
which you know what, I digress.
It's not that he hasn't been crazy before. This nigga been crazy before.
I digress. But from the time that he met her, I'm sure he wasn't like showing her this side where it's basically unhinged.
I mean, yeah, he's very unhinged.
His postings right now, it's pretty unhinged.
I mean, yeah, like regardless of like who you are or who you're with, definitely like understand who they are. And we've talked about this before, like premarital counseling, I think, is extremely important. And, you know, I'm a church girl, but I personally recommend going to an actual like psychiatrist, psychologist, whatever, whoever does that, instead of like going to your pastor. I think your pastors can give you great guidance, but if you're going to go to your pastor, go to a psychologist as well. Yep. Or whoever it is that
a pastor is good, like you said, for guidance.
For guidance is great. Yeah,
just to like keep your relationship, I guess, healthy, on track, you know, you know, a couple that prays together stays together,
right,
you know,
absolutely, type shit.
Like,
yeah.
But yeah, an actual therapist will really get into the psychological things of like because maybe your partner has trauma that they've never unpacked before.
Absolutely.
And it's good to figure out like, oh, like shit, I didn't even realize you went through this.
Yeah.
And it'll just give you a better understanding on how they approach certain situations, you know?
Exactly.
You got to know who you're dealing with, man.
Yeah.
You really got to know.
And I always say like, therapy is definitely like better as a preventative as well. And so if you are doing like premarital counseling or you are like seeing a couple's therapist or whatever, continue to do that even after you guys are married. Keep doing that. Continue to do that and don't stop. And honestly, get therapy for yourself.
Right.
Do it as a couple and do it as an individual.
As an individual.
That's very important to do that. Damn, that's a lot of money, huh?
I was gonna say it's a lot
of
money.
That's pricey.
If you have medical insurance, it'd be great, but
yeah. Hopefully you got that good insurance. See, that's
And even then, some insurance.
I know it sounds fucked up, and I'm sure a lot of people are listening to us. Like, we don't all have the resources for that.
Sure.
Trust me, like I don't have all the resources for that either.
I should be going to therapy and I don't.
Yeah.
You know?
But if you are like fortunate enough to have those resources, take advantage.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Because
you should, even you need, like, that. You said, even when you're happy, it's a good preventative.
Yeah. Even when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're upset, like anything at any moment in your life, because you could be unpacking trauma from when you were a child. Mm-hmm. You could be unpacking trauma, current trauma that you're going through.
And that you don't even realize. Yeah. You don't even realize you have certain trauma that you're holding on to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself.
Take care of yourself so you can take care of others.
Ooh, word. Okay, you guys.
Hey.
Our investigators. So we're actually doing something a little bit different this episode. Mm-hmm. If you guys have been listening to us, you know that we usually do two different true crime stories per episode. This time is a little bit different because we have been on TikTok and you guys loved one of our stories. It's our most viewed video on TikTok right now.
Pinned on the page.
And at Cocktail Murder Pod on TikTok. And you guys wanted more information on the story. So we were just like, okay, you know what? This episode, let's just do a deep dive on this story, give you guys a little bit more information, and that way you don't have to do our little, like, what is it, less than 3 minute, you know, thing on TikTok, and it'll answer all of your questions.
Yes.
And you guys let us know if you guys like this format a little better, just us doing a deep dive on one story per episode rather than like a high overview, you know, of two stories. Yeah. Let us know, and we want to please you.
We want to please you. All right, let's get into it. Okay, we're going to talk about a biological parent here. This is a quick trigger warning, as it does involve children, neglect, and abuse. So you have been warned. So we're going to talk about a particular biological mother. Her name is Tammy. She is the bio mother of Marcus, Hannah, and Abigail, who will later on their last name is changed to Hart. Tammy had not seen her children in nearly 15 plus years. However, she saw photos of them in the news with the tragic headline. So we're going to take a step back. So Tammy relinquished her rights to her children in 2004 after being charged with medical neglect. CPS would usually find cases like Tammy's where the parents or parent are ill-equipped to care for their children, whether they're living in poverty or the caretakers are on drugs. Mm-hmm. Tammy was on and off homeless since she was 17 years old and ran away with a much older boyfriend. She meant to have met her boyfriend at a Greyhound station in Houston, Texas, from Corpus Christi, where she lived with her grandparents, but the boyfriend never showed up, and with that, because she ran away, the grandparents did not allow her to go back home. Fast forward, Tammy had her children, Marcus, Hannah, and Abigail. Hannah was taken to the doctor and was prescribed with asthma medication. Tammy missed the follow-up appointment and was unable to go to the hospital because she did not have a car. With no one to turn to, once again, she got kicked out of her grandparents' home, doesn't have a boyfriend. Everyone just kind of left her alone at, you know, 17 to 19 years old. Mm-hmm. She contacted the CPS worker that had been in contact with her for a ride to the hospital. Then that CPS worker reported this, and that resulted to Tammy voluntarily signing away her parental rights, expecting Marcus, Hannah, and Abigail to be adopted by a family that can provide proper care.
That's so, like, unfortunate, because it did seem like she was trying to do the right thing by calling CPS, the only person that she felt like in the moment could help at the time.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, when you just don't have the resources and you have children that you simply cannot help, it does result in signing them away or signing your parental rights away.
And it was voluntarily. I mean, I can imagine the CPS worker having kind of a long conversation with her, letting her know, like, listen, like, you don't even have support, you know what I mean, to help you. Do you think keeping your three children is the best move, you know? And it's just no.
Yeah, which sucks because we know our system doesn't always do much better either.
Not
so that really sucks as well. But damn, what, like, being in a, in between a rock and a hard place,
yep,
you know, where you want the best for your children, yeah, and understanding that you yourself cannot provide,
mm-hmm,
not even the best, but just help. Yeah. You know, for your children.
Yeah. So. And Tammy was one out of the couple of other biological parents that gave their children up for adoption. So we have Marcus, Hannah, Abigail, Sierra, Jeremiah, and Devontae Hart, who were all eventually adopted by Jennifer and Sarah Hart, who we will get into.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer and Sarah met at Northern State University and started their relationship there. They publicly outed themselves, and the people around them didn't like it. Like, they didn't like that at all. We have to understand that they lived in South Dakota, which is like, what the fuck is South Dakota?
Like, honestly, what I don't think I've South Dakota? Ever met anyone who has even ever been to South Dakota.
Does North Dakota still exist? I don't even know if it's still a state. I have no idea. Who even knows?
There is a North.
Right.
That's crazy.
There has to be, right?
I think so.
Okay, so LGBT was frowned upon, especially in those flyover states that nobody really cares about.
Did I write? I think I wrote this one.
Hilarious. It was it. If you live in those...
South Dakota.
Yeah, if you live in those
shut
types
up.
Of states, let us... Yeah, first of all, you have no room to talk.
Yeah,
ever.
Please.
Also, what's even out there? Like, I have to know.
No, like, honestly, like,
dying.
I almost want to book a trip just to, like...
Just to see.
I just feel like it's probably just land. I think that's where you get, like, potatoes from.
Is it
Isn't
the
that
Dakotas?
A potato state?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
No idea. They were ostracized and eventually moved to Minnesota because of it. Sarah, which is Minnesota much better? I don't know.
Right?
Who knows? Sarah worked while Jennifer was a stay-at-home mom. Reddit, shout out to the Reddit community. They offer so many good personal stories. So we found a few stories of people that worked for Sarah at one point, and they described her as super chatty, always talked about herself like a white savior to her kids,
ugh,
and talked about her kids more as props rather than her own children.
Annoying.
And would get pretty over-emotional with coworkers and customers, so it's clear that, A, she would cross the line and boundaries with coworkers and customers.
Yeah.
And just, like, the fact that, you know, you're treating children... Again, like, you're saving these kids. Like, you're not – it's not that these are your children. You're, like – you want people to give you a pat on the back because you've,
yeah,
adopted these kids. And needless to say, I believe all of them, maybe with the exception of one, were black, right, the children. I think there's,
yeah,
one. She looked a little mixed.
They were still, like, children of color, but they were – mixed with, like, black and I want to say, like, Spanish or, like,
perhaps,
some kind,
yeah,
of, like, Dominican or Puerto Rican.
So that white savior complex was definitely there in the mix.
Which also, like, again, like, if you're a parent, seriously, like, stop talking about your kids, whether they're adopted or not. Stop talking about them as if they're props.
Yep.
I'm actually having, like, this problem right now with, mm-hmm, someone a colleague, I'll call him,
mm-hmm,
and literally, like, he talks about his children and specifically his son, mm-hmm, as if he was a prop. It's never like, oh, I love my son or anything like that. It's literally like, yeah, look what my son did. And, mm-hmm, it's like, are you living vicariously through him?
Yeah, it's like a trophy.
Or are you, yeah, yeah, exactly. A,
yeah,
trophy. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. And trust me, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. And stop showing multiple photos, especially you didn't ask for them.
Yeah.
Stop showing photos
especially
of your personal life because no one cares either.
No one cares.
And your life is,
I didn't ask. I never asked.
Not that interesting.
Yeah.
For you to interrupt my work, for me to take a,
yeah,
look at it.
You know, it's fucked up when I would rather do my work than to listen to you talk
to
me.
To your life.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Okay, so what's so odd is with all of the stories being told, no one met or seen the kids in person.
Oof.
That's a red flag, isn't it? Isn't that weird?
Yeah, you can talk about these kids as if they're props, chatting about them all
day,
the time,
like,
and no one has met them.
That's weird.
You can get over emotional with coworkers and customers, yeah. but bringing your kids in is too
that,
close.
That crosses that's too the line. Much. Yeah, no, yeah. weird. Super weird. In 2004, Jennifer and Sarah fostered a 15-year-old girl, and we're kind of going back a little bit. So they fostered a 15-year-old girl whose biological mother was, quote, young, single, and overwhelmed, end quote. The 15-year-old girl said the first 6 months were really good. They went camping, went to events, and they did things that she wasn't used to doing. Things started to get a little weird when Jen, Sarah, and the 15-year-old went to a Packers game. They brought footballs in hopes of getting them signed by a player, and at the end of the game, one of the players approached them and chose the 15-year-old's ball to sign. Sweet. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
This turned into an argument, however, because Jen thought that the 15-year-old had asked the player to sign her ball just to be a brat.
That's weird.
Right. She said that she wasn't allowed to go anywhere or do anything except for work or except for school or work. She wasn't allowed to leave the house unless one of them was with her, which is, come on, smothering. That is
yeah,
just
yeah.
Helicopter
parent.
Right. And despite those things, the Harts asked if she wanted to live with them until she was 18, and she really did. She said the Harts started talking about adopting children, other children, and she felt like they were preparing her to be a big sister. They told her she needed to be a good influence for the kids, and she strived to be just that. The Harts went to Texas to meet the mother of the first set of kids they were going to adopt, the brother and the sister. They came home and showed the 15-year-old photos of them, and she was pretty excited. 1 week before the newly adopted children were to arrive, Jen and Sarah dropped the 15-year-old girl at her therapist appointment, and that's when her therapist broke the news to the 15-year-old girl. They advised her that the Harts will not be coming back for her, and she'll begin living with a new family immediately.
That is crazy.
It's nuts. Especially, like, here you are, you have this set of parents that it's already kind of weird, but, you know, whatever, you're making the best out of the situation.
Yeah.
And they're promising a life. Mm-hmm. They're promising a new life and a mm-hmm. future life to be an older sister.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For them to just drop you off.
Like, they were, like, hyping her up. Like, yeah. It even said that she was striving to be a great big sister. And not only that, but, like, they had asked her to live there until she was 18. And
yeah.
I think that a lot of, like, foster kids, I mean, I don't want to speak for them, but I feel like a lot of them just want to get adopted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want to go from house to house to house. Mm-hmm. They want to find a good family, mm-hmm. and they want to get adopted. That's like a dream for them, you know? And that is so unfortunate that she was dropped off and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
That was it after being promised so much.
Yeah, for sure. The 15-year-old was quoted saying that they didn't even say goodbye. And so when they left, she never heard from them again. And it's just, once again, it's just really sad for them to just leave. Like,
yeah, and not say a word.
And not say a word. Like, that shouldn't even be allowed.
No, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be.
And then they're able to continue with the other adoption.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, yeah, you're about to go to the next family. It's like, what kind of shit and trauma? Seriously, what? That's wild. September of 2006, Marcus, Hannah, and Abigail were adopted in Colorado County, Texas. First of all, what is up with these weird
Colorado
cities?
County, Texas. How conflicting is that?
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't at all, ever. That's
okay.
Crazy.
In June of 2008, they adopted the additional children, Sierra, Devontae, and Jeremiah. Jennifer Hart was very active on social media and used Facebook to portray an image of a loving, happy family, which we see that all the time,
all
right?
The time.
Like, not even just happy families, yeah. but happy relationships mm-hmm. and things like that. And unfortunately, that's not always true.
Yep.
She also shared her thoughts on race and politics, which she appeared to be pretty liberal or, you know. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to get into some hard stuff. Okay, so yeah, this is going to be in Minnesota and at their time in Minnesota, the family. In 2008, the family was living in Minnesota, like I just said. Hannah was seen with bruises on her left arm, and when teachers asked about it, she said that she had been hit by Jennifer with a belt.
Oh, jeez.
That's so sad. And you know what? We actually grew up getting the belt, mm-hmm. and like, it was normal, mm-hmm. and now that I'm older, I'm like, that is not normal.
That was traumatizing.
That is not okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Within 6 months of Hannah confessing this to the school, the Harts pulled all six children out of the school they were going to. Red flag, for real.
Yeah.
In 2010, Abigail admitted at school that she had injuries on her back and her stomach. The incident was supposedly over whether or not she had found a penny.
What?
Like, how petty is that?
Yeah.
Did they think she was being a brat? You know, yeah. just like the 15-year-old got her ball signed?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? I don't know. Okay. The Hart couple held Abigail's head under cold water while Jennifer proceeded to hit her. When the authorities got involved, the children said that they'd get spanked constantly, and they also had food withheld from them.
Jesus.
Sarah Hart took responsibility, and she pleaded guilty to assault and was sentenced to community service for 1 year.
That's crazy.
How? How are you, like, accused of abuse? Like, yeah. you abused your child. You withheld food from them.
And then
that is complete neglect.
Active evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she, like, confessed. Like, she took responsibility for it. And all you get is 1 year of community service?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Look at the system
yeah.
and tell me that that's okay.
Yep.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. In 2011, Hannah reportedly told a school nurse that she had not eaten all day. In response to this, Sarah Hart claimed that Hannah was, quote, playing the food card and recommended that she'd only be given water.
What?
So
and
not
what does
only
that even
like
mean?
Yeah, not I only know. Is your child like hungry, but you blame her for playing the food card
yeah.
and like and tell the nurse not to give her
any food because she's starving.
Honestly, like even if you're not withholding, you know, food from
yeah.
your kid and your kid ate breakfast and lunch that day and
yeah.
they were like, I'm so hungry. As a parent, you'd be like, okay, well, yeah, give him a snack or something.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to let your kid sit there and just be hungry.
Exactly. Just as an adult in general, you're not going to allow a child to just be hungry.
Yeah.
It's just basic instinct.
Exactly.
To feed them and take care of them, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. After Hannah's admittance to the school nurse, the Hart couple pulled all six children out of school and homeschooled them from there.
What's that pattern?
So this is another school that the Harts took their children out of because their children spoke up and was like, yeah, like, I'm either getting beat or
yeah.
I'm starving. They're not giving me any food. And
yeah.
then the Harts are just like, okay, well, it's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is so many red flags here. It's
mm-hmm.
honestly crazy. Okay, so the family packed up and moved to Oregon. In 2013, authorities of Oregon were notified about the allegations in Minnesota. So you guys, it's catching up to them and people are starting to like see the pattern with them at least. Therefore, they conducted their own investigation. They interviewed the family separately, including their friends, and the interview of the two family friends revealed new allegations. They said that the children were forced to raise their hands before speaking, they could not wish each other happy birthday, and they could not laugh at the dinner table.
That's torture.
So crazy.
Like, you're just taking the spirit out of these kids, for
yeah.
sure.
For sure.
Not allowed to wish each other happy birthday. That is just...
Right. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then not allowed to
Such
laugh at
isolation.
The dinner table?
Isolation, for sure.
My favorite time to laugh is at the dinner table.
Seriously.
When you're like talking with people and you're bonding with people over food. Yeah. Like that's my favorite. I couldn't imagine. Other reports were related to how the children were poorly fed and looked small for their ages. They also acted as if they were scared to death of Jen, and they also acted like they were trained robots. Just, oh.
Jeez.
The more we like talk about this, I feel so bad for those babies and what they had to go through. The interviews of the children did not reveal any new incidents of abuse, nor did they mention anything that happened in Minnesota. When Jen herself was interviewed, she claimed that any family problems were results of others not being tolerant of the two lesbian mothers with six African American children.
Hmm.
In the end, the investigation was found inconclusive.
Wow.
So they pulled the lesbian card and the black card.
The white woman card.
Yeah.
In their favor.
Yeah, they were absolutely in their favor.
The white woman card, for sure.
They weaponized it.
Yep.
And that is so fucked up. And the crazy thing is, like, as we see, they found it inconclusive.
Yeah.
And they had all this information of all the red flags that was happening. But as soon as they're like, you guys are just coming at us because we're gay and because we have black kids.
Right.
I feel like the investigators were like, oh, well we don't want these problems. Let's just back up. Which is ridiculous.
It is.
It's so sad. It's so sad. Now, the heart, after this, they packed up again and they moved to Woodland, Washington in 2017. They moved next to the DeKalb family, and in August of that year, Hannah jumped from her bedroom window at around 1:30 a.m. to try to contact the DeKalbs and pleading, "Don't make me go back. They're racists and they abuse us."
Mm.
If that ain't clear, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Soon afterwards, Jen and Hannah found her and brought her back to the house.
Mm.
Jen explained to the neighbor that Hannah was a liar and that she is acting this way because she was, and I quote, a drug baby.
It's just so sad because they're literally weaponizing that poor baby's past that she had no control of.
Absolutely.
Against her.
Mm-hmm. No control of.
That's crazy.
And just because she's a drug baby, is she on drugs now? Like,
right.
What does that have to do with her jumping from her own window and literally pleading for help?
Right.
And the fact that, you know what's so fucked up? And she was saying, like, don't make me go back.
Mm-hmm.
And then the neighbor, like, just let her mom come, her adoptive mother come, and then take her back to the home.
Mm.
Like, what kind of neighbors are you? Like, I feel like that's a terrible neighbor, too.
I don't
care about these children
exactly.
either.
Exactly. I would, but it's also kind of a tough situation because, like, do you keep the kid with you? This is late at night. You know what I mean?
It is, 1:30 a.m.
Do you keep the kid with you? I guess as a neighbor, I'd be like, hey, it seems like there's a lot going on, like, you know, why doesn't she just spend the night with me tonight?
I mean, they
you
could
know?
Either do that. I mean, it depends too.
Or
I mean,
call the
were the neighbors sketchy too? You know, like who knows?
True.
But that is something that you could do. You could call the police. That unfortunately, who knows if that would have even helped either.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess I would do what I can in that situation to make sure that the kids are okay, you know, or that girl is okay, because that is, one, a huge accusation, and two, to jump from your window at 1:30 in the morning, pleading.
She's not doing that just because she has some sort of attitude.
Yeah, because she's a liar.
Yeah,
like,
no.
What kind of shit is that?
At 1 in the morning. Yeah.
Okay. Devante used to go over to the DeKalbs as well, asking for non-perishable foods and asked that they don't say anything to the Hart couple. You see what I'm saying? So, like, there's all of these red flags. And then you as a neighbor, like, even at one of the children is coming over asking for non-perishable foods.
Right.
So he's not asking for regular food. He's asking for food that he can probably take home and hide somewhere that won't go bad, that he can eat. Because he's hungry. He's starving. Poor baby. Then you have the daughter jumping from her window. Like, what kind of neighbors are you?
Just let it happen. And, you know, you keep that mental note to yourself as opposed to actually going outsourcing to find some sort of help for these kids.
Exactly. So the DeKalbs, they did keep their word and didn't say anything to their mothers, but of course they did report the incident. So they did end up reporting it, but how many things has to go wrong for you to finally report some shit?
Yes, exactly.
CPS workers tried to reach the Harts twice. Once on March, once on March 23rd, 2018, and I'm sorry, I don't know when the second time was, but there was never an answer. So that was the end of that. Them living in Washington, and once again, the third state that they've lived in, that they've had to be interviewed, that people have like had to report them, that they've been going through all of this shit, and still nothing is being done.
Yeah.
All they do every time is pack up and go to the next place. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. On around 4:15 p.m. on March 26th of 2018, the police were called to the site of a crash in Westport, California. The tourist explained that the car was lying upside down at the bottom of a 100-foot cliff. When the police arrived, they determined that the brown GMC Yukon was registered to Jennifer Hart.
Jeez.
None were found to have been wearing seatbelts, and authorities say they all died within seconds. Sarah, 38 years old, was found inside of the car. Jen, who was 38 years old as well, she was the driver. Her body fell out. Whew. This is just crazy. Her body fell out of the car on the way down and had to be retrieved from the side of the cliff. Abigail and Jeremiah, who were both 14 years old, and Marcus, who was 19 years old, were found in the same vicinity of the crash site where the car was found. Sierra, who was 12 years old, remained missing for 2 weeks until her body was found washed up on shore. You guys, my heart, honestly.
Yeah.
Hannah, who was 16 years old, months later, her foot was found washed up on shore. After DNA tests, they determined it did belong to her. The rest of her body was never found. And our sweet Devante, you guys, we have pictures on Instagram, but we'll repost pictures as well. Devante is... He has a picture that actually went completely viral.
Yeah.
And he is just a young black boy and he's hugging a police officer in the photo. And that was circulated and used around as like, this is love and peace. A young black boy is hugging a white police officer. Mm-hmm. And what nobody knew at the time was that this poor young boy was being abused and neglected, and he was malnourished. And
he was clearly, visibly,
visibly malnourished. So sad. Our sweet Devante, his body was never recovered. Mm. However, the grand jury determined that he was in the crash. And they did sign his death certificate.
Although they don't have the body, which
they don't have a body. I mean, even for Hannah, they at least found like a part of her body. They found her foot, you know, and they found nothing of Devante's.
Right.
Okay, investigators saw that there were no skid marks. Skid marks would have shown that it was an accident. Basically, because if there were skid marks, that means that they tried to hit their brakes. Mm-hmm. And there was none. They looked deeper into the crash. The SUV had a black box computer system, and it showed that the vehicle came to a stop 70 feet before the cliff's edge. After it made a complete stop, it then accelerated to 90 miles per hour. No attempts at hitting the brakes. And it was driven off of the cliff.
Jesus.
They recovered Sarah's phone and found that while driving to the cliff, she searched how to overdose on over-the-counter medicine. She also researched how much Benadryl is needed to kill a woman and how quick and painful from drowning and hypothermia would be. This made it pretty clear that this was planned ahead of time. The autopsy showed that Jen was drunk during the crash.
Jesus.
And Sarah had the equivalent of 42 Benadryl pills in her system. I take one Benadryl and I'm knocked out.
Yeah, that's
42
nuts.
Benadryl.
That's nuts.
The kids that were initially recovered had crazy amounts of Benadryl in their system as well. Marcus had the most, with the equivalent of 19 pills.
Oh, geez.
The recommended dosage is 2 capsules at the most.
Wow.
The coroner also found bruises on the children's backs that happened prior to the crash.
Wow.
Investigators then searched their home in Woodland, Washington. Jen and Sarah slept on a twin bed. The 6 children slept in 2 different rooms. One room had 1 twin bed and the other room had 0 beds and only a padded mat on the floor.
Wow.
I'm like, when investigators came or CPS came and interviewed them,
they didn't search
the house. They didn't ask, like, where are the kids sleeping?
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's sad because, once again, like, what they portrayed on Facebook was completely different. You know, they portrayed this holistic lifestyle.
Yes,
when
absolutely.
In turn, the kids were literally being neglected of their basic necessities. Yeah.
The basic.
It's
a
crazy.
Bed.
Yeah.
One room didn't even have a bed. It had a pad on the floor.
Yeah.
That's so fucked
up. 6 children.
Food. They didn't get food.
For 6 children.
That's crazy. There were no items in the house, such as games, posters, toys, or other personal belongings that would have been used by children or teenagers, which is crazy. When people have kids and you walk in their house, you know they got kids.
Right.
There are toys, there are posters. I mean, there's something in there that indicates
right.
you have children. Even if you have 1 kid,
right.
imagine having 6 kids and there's no indication of having children.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
There were also no family photos, although there were picture frames hanging on the walls, and the frames were all empty, which is so weird.
Yeah.
That's, like, really scary. It's creepy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The investigators who searched the home found little indication that children were there. Jen was huge on social media about being a plant mom and living a vegetarian lifestyle, but the police found various kinds of meat and processed foods in the fridge.
Mm.
So basically, this bitch was lying about everything.
Everything.
Not about just like her family,
yeah.
but like being a vegetarian
yeah.
and like being a plant like person. And
yeah.
like all of the shit here is the complete opposite.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. She even claimed that they don't own a TV, but the police found a large screen TV in the family room. Like, as small as that. Like, you don't even have to say, oh, yeah, we don't watch TV.
Right.
You don't even have to say that.
Right.
You know, it's crazy. They found that Jen and Sarah were pretty deep in debt.
Damn.
The last thing anyone heard from Sarah was March 24th when she texted a coworker and said she was sick and wouldn't be able to come in. By March 25th, her coworker called a welfare check on them, and the family had already been gone by then.
Yeah.
A criminal prosecution was not possible because of the fact that Jen and Sarah were both dead, but it was determined that this incident was a murder-suicide.
Jeez.
And you guys, that's the story of the Hart family.
Yeah. It's just, at the end of the day, you really don't know what goes on behind closed doors.
No, you
don't. I mean, we had a conversation about shit about Instagram
mm-hmm.
and you can't fully believe what's going on Instagram
exactly.
and I know a lot of people stress this, but it's really true. You really cannot believe
Absolutely.
What's happening because again, to have this couple portray this holistic lifestyle
mm-hmm.
and you know they adopted these children, and it's the perfect story of progression in
mm-hmm.
the family. And then in turn, like, you look up and they're actually abusing and neglecting these children.
Yeah.
And they're mentally not even fit and financially not
yeah,
fit
both.
To take care of these
yeah.
kids. So they end in a murder-suicide.
Yeah. They felt like that was their only way out. And it's like...
Yeah.
Like, Charlemagne the God always says this. He's like, if you feel the need to go, like, shoot someone or, like, do a mass shooting... Shoot yourself.
Shoot yourself first.
Don't shoot anyone else. Shoot
no.
yourself first.
Hurt yourself. Yeah.
That's how I feel about
them.
Like,
don't drag everyone else into
yeah.
your misery.
Especially, you know? Like, in this story, like, these innocent children, like, they had been abused their entire life. Right. Like, even just coming from where they were born and, like, initially raised, like, they didn't have, like, the greatest of resources, right. You know? And then so to be adopted by a family who makes life seem so wonderful and easy and all that stuff, right. But you're actually being abused by them.
Right.
That is so sad. Mm-hmm. These poor innocent children.
Yeah.
Like, I just, why couldn't they just out themselves, like, off themselves?
And it's like, just the fact that these children already did not come from the best background.
Right, exactly.
You know, so they go from...
They're already dealing with their own trauma.
Exactly. From, you know, they probably jumped from household to household. You never know, prior to getting adopted by Jen and Sarah, and then to get adopted by these two, thinking that their lives are finally going to turn around, and... As soon as they close the door, it's something, mm-hmm. It's a nightmare. Like, right. I just can't even imagine. And then for them to take their lives, like, it's just so.
My gosh.
It's horrible. It really is bad. And even
they
for
didn't
the CPS.
Give these kids a chance at all.
At all. And for the CPS workers who kept, you know, they stopped the investigation just based off of their word and didn't look further into what was going on. I mean, like, different states should have, you know, I don't, because you're in a different state doesn't necessarily mean that your information shouldn't be passed on to mm-hmm. the next state. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's so bad. Like, there were so many red flags and so many, like, so much evidence pointed towards this demise, like, pointed towards mm-hmm. this ending that could have been prevented a long time ago.
It's so sad because it's right. They have a full track record, and these things are, they're documented.
Yeah.
So when you're flipping through this file of theirs, you're seeing everything that mm-hmm. led up to this. Mm-hmm. And you're also seeing that nobody did anything to stop it.
Yeah.
Nobody did any. Even the fucking neighbors.
Even the neighbors.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, of course, again, they reported it later. Mm-hmm. But come on. A kid comes to your door and asks you for food. And not just, again, not just food, but non-perishables.
One in the morning at one time. And
And it was noted that they looked malnourished.
Yeah.
You know, they had so many incidents where they had bruises on their bodies. Right. Like, come on, you know? So very sad story. Every time the story comes across, like, mm-hmm. my timeline or whatever, I get sad all over again because seriously. These kids did not deserve that.
Not at all, no.
They were just so innocent. I have no words. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's very sinister.
Very.
Very sinister.
And fuck them.
Yeah.
Fuck Jen and Sarah Hart. Fuck them.
Seriously. Seriously.
Terrible people.
They're horrible people. They really are. Just, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow. I enjoyed that episode, even though it, like, really pissed me off. I'm not going to lie. My blood is boiling now after talking about that story.
Yeah, the Hart family story. It's just one of those stories that sticks with you.
Yeah.
For sure. And I guess what makes it worse is the fact that that one photo did go viral.
Yeah.
You know?
For all the wrong reasons.
For all the wrong reasons. And then you take a look at the story behind the photo mm-hmm. And you look at Devontae's life and... And then it's like, oh, shit, this is horrible. Like,
and, like, if you guys don't know, the crazy thing about that photo, again, we'll post it on our Instagram and maybe our TikTok too. Mm-hmm. But the photo of him hugging the police officer, again, it was used as, like, love and unity and this and that.
Right.
But he was actually running to the police officer for help.
Like,
he was crying. Like, he wanted to get away from his life, mother, from, honestly, his family.
Yeah.
You know, because they were living in such terrible circumstances. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to get away. And people mm-hmm. were using that as, like, oh, he loves the police officer, right. regardless of him being a white man. Like,
right.
And it was like, no, the police officer didn't help him.
Yeah, at all.
He was sad.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
And then we hear later too, like he was forced to go over there to the police officer for that picture specifically, so that the mothers could go and post it on their social medias. Mm-hmm. So that they can
proclaim peace and unity and all that stuff.
And they can uphold their little, like, perfect family reputation. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It's so sick. It's sickening.
Yeah. Don't believe what you see on Instagram. Again, today is Valentine's Day. This is going to drop later, but we're recording on Valentine's Day. And we had a conversation earlier just about that, how, like, people are getting like jealous or upset over these super cute, you know, Valentine's Day posts with these relationships. And it's like, you don't even really know what's going on.
Yeah, you don't.
In that relationship. Really don't. So
don't go based off of Instagram. Yeah. For sure.
Please. You really don't know people. And if you come across any like children who are pleading for help, take it seriously. Mm-hmm. Don't just think, oh, this is just a bad little kid. Especially if it's like a black kid. I feel like that plays a big role in the neighbors not doing anything. Like if it's any kid that is pleading for help, make sure you follow through on making sure that those kids are safe.
Yep.
Because sometimes they're not.
Yeah.
And we see that here.
Yep. Exactly.
But yeah, thank you guys for listening in on another episode of Cocktail Murder. Again, this was a little bit different. We only told one story and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, me too.
And you guys let us know if you guys would rather us just do deep dives on one story throughout our podcast episodes, or if you want us to go back to doing our two stories, kind of a high level, you know, overview or whatever.
So. Yeah. But you heard it here. Until then, we can go ahead and cheers it out to the next murder.
Clink, clink.